If you can learn this operation, your life will actually be pleasant. I want to teach you how to get anointed, but stay anointed. Amen. And you try to live life free of burden. It doesn't mean you won't receive burden. You can just learn to take it off. Doesn't mean you won't receive tribulation. You just take it off. Amen. I know this works because I've been doing this for many years now. I do it every day and I get free every day, no matter what the enemy does. He can't hang on. Even his toughest assignments don't last more than 2 days, possibly three. I can take them off. I'm only saying that to share with you the amazing operation that's here in the Word. So we're going to start with Matthew 6, and I want you to look at verse 22. This whole chapter is so full. It's got the Lord's Prayer in it. This is an incredible chapter here. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. You can stop right there. He is not talking about your eyeball. All right? He's not talking about your eyeball that you see through. All right? That's not the eye he's talking about there. Well, he's saying that in a sense of comparison to a spiritual operation. So really he is saying the light of the body is the eye, but now he's going to talk to you about what he's really going to talk to you about. If therefore thine eyes be single, the whole body shall be full of light. That word single is made of haplus. If thine eye be haplus. Amen. Has two root words to that. One of them is alpha. So we get the word alpha and omega, Christ, alpha. Praise the Lord. Second one is very interesting, is pleco, means to weave together, like a basket. If your eye be singularly interwoven into the alpha of Christ, your whole body will be full of light. He's not talking about the eye of your natural senses, not natural body. He's talking about the eye of your heart, or the eye of your spirit, the eye of your inner man, the part that's governed and the part that receives and the part that sees the kingdom. You see the kingdom through the eye of the inner man that's given light by the word of God through revelation, not knowledge, revelation knowledge. As revelation knowledge comes in by the Holy Spirit, enlighten the word, it enlightens your eye to see things you couldn't see before. That's an operation of the eye of the heart. Now, your eye of your heart, the enemy is going to engage you, most likely on a daily basis, because he wants the eye of your heart partaking of his system. And God wants the eye of your heart, I'll say it like this, God wants the eye of your heart interwoven into Christ. The enemy wants the eye of your heart interwoven into the world system, into his system. And the battle, believe it or not, is by the eye of your heart. Because if you don't move the eye of your heart by the grace of God into a kingdom focus, Christ focus, then the enemy will naturally own the eye of your heart. And he'll start being governed. And he'll start governing the way you see things, your outlook upon things. It'll govern your eye of your heart. Your past can govern the eye of your heart. You can see things through brokenness, betrayal, abuse, whatever the case. If you've been through things, it creates a stronghold that when things come through that filtration system, by the time it reaches the eye of your spirit, it's already been filtrated. It's been filtrated in unworthiness. It's been filtrated in rejection. It's been filtrated in whatever you deal with, and you receive it that way, even though that may not be the case. Amen? It's perception-based. So what we have to do is get the eye of our heart in alignment or into union, interwoven like a basket. He's not just wanting you to look at him. He wants to interweave the eye of your heart into Christ. That's how I move into the union every day with him. I move into a place of interwoven union, and I'm going to share with you how to do that. But he says, if your eye, actually, he's going to show you how to do this in this chapter. If your eye be interwoven, singularly interwoven, the eye of your heart be singularly interwoven into Christ, your whole body is going to be full of light. In other words, you're going to start seeing, experiencing, encountering. He can interweave you. Christ is, he's a tree of life. He's a lot of things. He can interweave you in the different aspects of his kingdom, and you'll receive the light of what he's interweaving you into. Amen? It's awesome. Look at verse 23. He says, but if your eye be evil, and we always go evil, and the first thing we go, well, that's not me, because that's everybody else, because I don't really have an evil eye. But that's not really what it's talking about. That word evil, that eye be poneris, that eye be evil. Guess what that means? It doesn't mean the evil you think of. If your eye be full of labors, this is what poneros means, annoyances, hardships, pressed and harassed by labors, toil, annoyances, perils. See, if you're constantly in a misaligned position of toil, labor, annoyance, frustration, you can call it Amalek, because that's what it is. I have a lot of teachings on Amalek. It's a spirit, but that spirit has to have your submittance to it for it to have power. You have to give your eye, but the enemy system is governed by toil. It's governed by labor. It's governed by hardship. It offers you the best, but then it makes you a slave to it. Amen? That whole system that's constantly there wants to govern your eye, wants to completely. How many of you ever tried to pray? You just have all this stuff going on, all this unsettled. That's all an atmosphere. I have a teaching called atmospheric thieves. That's all meant to keep your eye ever getting attached to Christ. And if you get attached very long, the enemy will constantly send things to get you detached and get you reattached to his system. Amen. So the war is with the eye of the heart, or the focus. Because you cannot move in the kingdom without focus. If you don't get your eye moving in the right direction, you're not ever going to see very far in the kingdom. And you're not going to experience very much in the form of union and glory and all the stuff we talk about when we go in. The only way you can move up the mountain of God is focus. That eye has to be focused. And you can learn focus. It's not going to be easy in the beginning, especially if you have an undisciplined eye that's always gone the way of toil or annoyances or hardship or labor or the systems of the world that's constantly revolving around. It's pulling on that from the time you wake up. It's pulling your focus away from God and into the world. Even good things. Evil, it can be good things. It just has a system attached to it. That's why when you sit down to pray, you're everywhere. You're just all over the place. You can't, because there's an atmosphere for that. Your eyes attached to the wrong thing. It has to be submitted. Say submitted. It has to be submitted and then rewoven into Christ. This is what we do. In our ascent to God, we move through the door, we move into the throne of grace, and the first thing we do at the throne of grace is start the surrender process. Because if you don't learn how to do this, and you're operating in life out there on your own, and if you operate in life out on your own, you're going to keep getting the same result. And after a while, there is no result. Amen? So we have to come in, we have to unload at the throne of grace. You learn techniques that you can teach people. And if they don't have the technique, they'll keep going in, but they're doing the wrong thing every time. And they're getting stopped out, and they get discouraged, like a lot of golfers will do. They'll get discouraged and say, I can't do this. When in reality, they could. They just don't possess the technique and the skill level to hit the ball properly. Amen? So you have to learn the techniques that keep you moving and attached to the kingdom of God. Once you learn the techniques, I know it's hard to understand that because it looks so easy, but it becomes easy because it's second nature. Amen. And so through this technique, we can teach you how to move out of the world and your eye of your faith governed and get it moving into the kingdom of God and up the mountain of God. And the further you go up, the more liberty there is. The higher you get, the more glorious it is. It was amazing. That God opened this well inside of me and I started laughing hilarious. You never know what he's going to do. I was just laughing hilariously for almost 45 minutes. This joy was tickling my heart. It was so pleasurable. I'm like, the things people miss by not being here. I would have missed this had I not come. It was the most glorious thing. I'm just not a person that walks around laughing all the time. It's not my nature. I'm more serious, you know. This was coming from here, and it was, he just put something here to start tickling me. Felt so amazing. You can't find anything in the world can make you feel like that. And he just kept it there. It made my whole day. God is pleasurable. He's amazingly pleasurable. If you're going to prayer because, oh my God, I got a prayer, you don't know what prayer is about. Prayer is about communion, fellowship, intertwining your spirit with God, and then God taking you up into all the different facets of who he is, and he never runs dry. So there's always something new there. You can't ever tap God out, amen? Can't master God, amen? The thing we want to do is we want to get our eye out from the world and into God, the eye of our faith, because everything else will follow. You need to learn that concept. If I get my eye, my faith attached, my emotions will follow, my soul will follow, my body will follow, my feelings will follow, and all of a sudden it all follows in and lines up. I don't try to get all that stuff lined in. I surrender it all. But when I start going up that mountain into Christ, into the rest, that's when I start feeling it. See, when do you, I really start feeling it when I move into the rest. I start enjoying it in the rest and on up into the Father. Amen. Would you believe that God, in this very chapter, gave a major, say major, revelation on how to get your eye out of toil, out of labor, out of annoyance, out of frustration, out of Amalek, out of the systems of the world, out of Uzzah. He's going to show you how to overcome toil in this chapter. Amen? Isn't it amazing? But look in verse 25. It says, take no thought for your life. It's not like don't think about your life. No, he's talking about don't be governed by careful thoughts of toil and labor and hardship and be frustration and fear, anxiety. Don't be governed by those kinds of systems because it's a system trying to governing your heart. Amen? Your heart's everything. So I said, keep it with all diligence. If you don't learn to keep your heart, the enemy will tend your garden for you. There'll be weeds all grown up overnight. It's amazing how fast you can have such a beautiful yard just freshly manicured and let it just go. So verse 28, here's his remedy. Why take you thought for clothing? Watch this. Consider the lily of the field, how they grow. They toil not. Oh, here's that word toil. They don't toil. They don't spin. Not even Solomon in all his glory like was arrayed like one of them. And that opened the door for the Holy Spirit to begin teaching me of this place in the garden where Christ stands at the lily of the valley. And I remember when I first started coming in to it, I didn't know what I was doing. And he said, I want you to meditate. And so as I moved in my heart, because that word came so alive, the image of that lily was born in my heart. So if you see a lily, I always see it as like this one here. Okay? I always see it the Kelly White. Amen? It's usually just one. And I see this cup. I call this the cup right here. And when I see it with the eye of the heart, I don't see it with the eye of the mind. I'm seeing it with the eye of the heart. It's emanating glory. It's like white glory and it's emanating everywhere. But it's situated in one position. All right? So when I started meditating, that word meditate, it means a lot of things. Consider, it means to examine carefully, thoroughly examine, thoroughly meditate. So I began to look at it, If you get into this place, your ascent to the love of the Father is going to be easy. Amen. If you don't get to this place because you haven't taken the eye of your heart and moved it to a place of pure rest, of pure peace, a place that has no care, a place that's not governed by care, toil. It's not governed by the systems of the world. Amen. So there's nothing there. It's all perfect peace. It's perfect rest. It's perfect identity. Notice something about the lily. It does not move, yet it's perfectly settled in a state of perfect harmony all the day long. Doesn't toil or spinning. It's not agitated. This lily never, ever experiences agitation. Never. It never experiences toil. It sits in one place. You know what its number one attribute is? Somebody tell me. Receive. It has the capacity. It brings in sun and water. All it does is receive, and it's perfect in its capacity to receive. That's part of considering. If you don't learn to receive from God, then you can't be brought fully into that place. Amen? So you have to learn to receive. You have to let go. You have to detach from the world, surrender, and reattach into God. This is what he's talking about. This is how your eye gets singularly interwoven. The way I do it is when I see that one lily standing in the garden. It's Christ. It's kind of like sometimes he'll be standing like this, but he's in the lily. This is the way I see it. It's the way the imagery. I see him there. He's standing there, and it's just fullness of grace emanating 360 degrees out. I call this the cup of the lily. And what I do when I approach, I close my eyes. And now here's how you do it. Listen to me. You have to get your eye of your heart focused into this. So what happens, you move it out of the world because the power is in the focus. The power is moving the eye of your heart into the kingdom. So as I focus and I see it, now watch this, I start saying what I see. Say what you see. If you don't see, you can't say. If you're not talking, you're disconnected. I speak, I'm seeing and saying, and I add a little bit of poetic operation to it. Poetry, say poetry. Believe it or not, in James 1, he says, being a doer of the word, if you'll go home and look that word doer, you know what it means? Poet. Be thou a poet of the word. Say poet. If you go out there, oh, thank you, Father, for the lily. It does not toil. It does not spin. I thank you. I'm like one of them. And God's like, no, you're not. God is a poetic God. Add a little bit of oomph to it. Amen. Don't just stand there with your mind and go, oh. Don't get monotone with God. When he said consider, number one, you got to get a little bit of heart action in there. Amen. You got to get your heart wrapped around that thing. As I begin to do that, as I come in and I start focusing in, I see that emanating grace. I begin to focus in lily and I begin to say, you do not toil. You do not spin. Perfectly situated into grace. Perfectly still. Receiving and emanating grace. Rest. Peace. Emanating grace, rest, peace, stillness, harmony. As I begin to focus my heart in saying it, I have my eye, my focus, my words, I start moving into it. And what I actually do is I actually stand in the middle of it. By faith, I start moving into it and I see it encompassing like it, I'm caught up in it. And when I'm doing that, you surround me. You can feel that. You clothe me in perfect rest, perfect peace, stillness, harmony, life without agitation, life without frustration, life without toil. And then all of a sudden you get moved into the atmosphere of heaven. And then all of a sudden is your emotions, your mind, everything starts following you in and settling down. Everything starts settling into the power of this rest. As I'm in this, look at your perfect identity. Perfectly fulfilling the Father's will without effort. Perfectly fulfilling the Father's will without toil, without spinning, without labor, existing in a perfect state of harmony with the Father. Harmony of heaven. Harmony. Harmony. The rest. The glory. Thank you, Father, that I'm dwelling in you and with you, Lord. And you clothe me in your own self. My mind, my heart. When you get to move into there, all of a sudden, everything follows in before you notice. You're 100% folded into it. You're not struggling anymore. Your mind's kind of, because the power of this realm, it supersedes the realm of natural. It just, everything's bowed down. And so you're so caught up. You can get caught up in the poetry of it. There's so much there. It's become so beautiful. The more you do it, the more beautiful it becomes. You get so caught up. Like some of the other day, it was in prayer. Come up to me, and we could have just stayed there for another hour because it was so thick in here yesterday. And you just get caught up, and all of a sudden everything is still, and all that you've escaped the world. Everything is still. Everything is pure. So I'm in it, right? Then I step out. All this is by faith. I just kind of step out, and then I say, Father, clothe me. And I picture a robe made of pure, effervescent tenderness of a lily's petal. You can do what you want to do. This is what I do. It works. Trust me. It works big time. I say, clothe me, and I feel that effervescent, tender robe come around me. My whole body gets saturated in the rest. My body, functions of my body, all the pressures are removed from my body. I'm floating. Once I receive that robe, I don't do it when I first come in. I do it at the end when I'm already in there. I said, now crown me. I see this part like opens like a circumference, and this part crowns my head. And I've actually seen crowns that have like natural crowns. They have almost like lily petals coming off the crown. And I said, crown me. And when I do, I see it coming over my head, my forehead, and my countenance. It comes and it crowns me, and I feel the essence of rest in my mind, my heart. This kind of therapy the world would pay millions for if they knew it existed. Amen? Because this therapy is not just unloading, it's reloading in a heavenly essence. And you come out with this incredible rest, because some people think the rest is going in and just sitting quiet before God. That is not the rest. That's just rest in your body. This is a invigorating rest. I mean, you're ready for the next level because he invigorates you with the grace. Because what happens when you move into this place, you start becoming like the lily, and all your capacities within you that could not receive are suddenly now receiving. Your heart's receiving, your body's receiving, your mind's receiving, your spirit. You're in 100% receiving mode now, and you don't even know you did it. You've gotten into him because he's the lily. You've moved into union with him as the lily. And now you're receiving perfect grace, which is the great barrier in the kingdom, is people don't know how to receive. Amen. Now you're receiving. You can feel the grace clothe. You can feel it clothe your mind. And sometimes I'll lay down in a bed of lilies. I can stay there literally for hours if I want to. But I have a lot of assignment right now with Kingdom. I have to move out of that place. But when I first started going in there, I'd stay in there for hours. It was just amazing because you couldn't get anything like that in the earth. You couldn't find anything. There was no, you can feel that in here. You can feel the warmth that it relieves inside you. Every part of you gets into harmony with God. It's amazing. And you can do this every day, no matter the warfare, but you have to get skilled in getting the eye of your heart out from the world, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the systems of the world, and getting it into the kingdom. So we have to have an anchor for the eye of our heart. Amen? If I don't have an anchor, then I don't know where to go. So I have to go to the Word and get an image. The anchor is the image. I have to have an image that I can lock into. If I don't have an image, then I'm going to float out. So once I get that image, it's the same every time, but it gives me different revelations once I come in. But when I first come in, it's always the same. Same with throne of grace. I always see my image, but I start seeing it and I stay with it and I start moving into it. My eye gets moved into it. Then I start seeing more of the glory and I start seeing the contentment and all these things. I start experiencing different facets of the grace or the lily. You see that? Because you get in it. And when you're in it, it surrounds you. So then I get the crown. Wisdom will give to thine head an ornament of grace. She'll be a crown to you. She'll crown you with grace. When you get crowned like that and your body gets clothed and you're covered, there's nothing like that. It's amazing. And from that position, because all of your receiving factors, all your inability to receive, you suddenly have the capacity to receive. You have nothing blocking you anymore. You're not in toil anymore. You're not in labor. You're not stirred. You're not in the world. So moving up to the Father from there is very easy because there's nothing there holding you back. You're in fullness of grace. Amen? It's a major pivotal part of the kingdom. It'll get freed from toil. It'll get it interwoven into the rest of Christ and get you moving up into love. When you get love and rest working together, and life, the next one's the tree of life, which I'm in that too now, pretty heavy. When you get those three working, woo! Rest, love, and life, I mean, that's a serious recipe. Amen? And then glory. The glory realm. It's all there. Amen? So, then you move on up into the Father, but we need to learn how to be poets. Say poets. I want to go to James 1 and we'll close with this. You don't learn how to be a poet. You're going to have to get some poetry. If you go up there and act like an analytical computer geek, you are not getting in. You got to get up out of your head. That's analytical computer geek. And you got to get up into the poetry of the heart. Amen. Because God, He is poetic. You don't believe me? Read the Psalms. Full of poetic. Amen? Glory to God. James 1. It doesn't matter what kind of burden, because you get so skilled, don't matter the enemy, he'll hate you because he can't control you anymore. He'll throw stuff, he'll get people stirred up around you and all kinds of stuff, and he'll stir you up. And then you get in there and you get freed from it, get liberated from it, you come back out, I'm a brand new man. And then what happens is, sometimes you come out like people want to remember you the way you went in, not the way you come out. Say, well, the way I went in is not who I am. The way I come out is who I am. You want to know who I am? Wait till I come out. Not how I come in, it's how I come out. Don't look at me how I go in. Look at me how I come out. Go in with the old man, come out with the new. Amen? Glory to God forever. It's going to be unnatural, and your eye is going to be, if you feel your eye being pulled over, thinking about something, bring it back over, because it'll constantly, the more it's got a pull on you, it'll pull. But the more you get in, it'll start losing its pull. And you get in there and you get clothed like you felt a minute ago. You can just get caught up literally that easy. This is also, by the way, listen to me careful in this, because God's teaching us now about answered prayer on the other side of all this. When you start having a faith project and you start praying, I don't pray on this side, I pray on the other side. Do you know what I just said? I do not pray until I get exchanged. Amen? Because I want to pray in His rest. I want to pray in His love. I want to pray in His life. Because the time I start representing some of the stuff He's asking me to represent, that's way beyond me, that's totally impossible to do. When you're in Him, it doesn't feel impossible. The rest is so prevalent there, you're not feeling pressure or care or unbelief or discouragement. None of that stuff's present in your faith. That's why the Lord wants you to pray on the other side, not on this side. Now, with that said, just because you can't get all the way up to the love of the Father doesn't mean you can't represent. I said it like this to Chuck yesterday. If you haven't made it all the way up, then wherever you get to, then pray on the other side of that. Pray on the other side of your plateau. If you can hit the rest and get to the rest, then start making your requests, because you need to start having a faith project. A faith project where you can believe God for something, but you don't want to believe God. A lot of people's faith gets tapped out because they're believing for Him, but they get barraged with stuff here. You're not designed to pray large faith things here. These atmospheres here will override you. You got to get out of this atmosphere, get into God's atmosphere, get in the rest, peace. Even if you can get that far, then pray. Because it's going to wipe out all the stuff that's harassing your faith. By the time you start representing, you're not representing the stuff in a state of harassment or fear or turmoil. It's not like, God help me! Because so many of our prayers are coming out of our circumstance instead of us coming out of the circumstance and then praying. Amen? Look at James 1. James 1, verse 23. If any be a hearer of the word... Okay, you're hearing tonight, and not a doer. He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. First thing you want to know is that word doer is poet. You can look it up in the Greek. It means poet. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a poet of the word, any word I hear it, but I don't move into active poetry, because right now he's not talking about doing in the sense of going and keeping the Ten Commandments. That's not what he's talking about here. He is talking about a state of believing and how to believe. And he's going to say it here. He's like unto a man that beholds his natural face in a mirror, in a glass. And I remember when I was first meditating, he says, he beholds himself and goes his way, forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the what? It is work. It's not work like you think in the world, but it's a work of believing. This man should be blessed in his deed or his believing. So I started meditating this one day, and I'm like, what is, I'm supposed to behold my natural face in a mirror. I go my way. I forget what manner of man I look like. I said, aren't we supposed to forget what our natural man looks like? I'm like, here you're saying the hearer, he walks away from the mirror and he forgets what he looks like, but the doer keeps looking. I said, what are you saying? And I started looking at that word natural. You know what it means? Nativity. Okay, he looks at his nativity face in the mirror, nativity face in the mirror. And so all of a sudden I keep meditating back in those days. And all of a sudden I see this image of a manger scene. I'm like, he looks at nativity. And then it has dawned on me. That word natural meant birth of Christ's face. The new man. He looks at the birth of Christ's face in a mirror, because you look at him in a mirror, you're attached to him, and you go your way, you forget. Because why? The eye of your heart got pulled away from the poetry of believing and got pulled into the world. He forgot. But the doer, say, or the poet of the word, he keeps looking. He keeps going back. He's not talking about just reading the word. He's talking about interacting in a poetic state of believing, where you get into the imagery of it, and he keeps looking and looking and looking until he becomes what he's seeing. He's looking with the eye of the heart. Amen? Isn't that awesome? So as you move into the lily, you get so skilled. I'm telling you, there is not a therapy in the world that can give you what the lily, it's a gift God gave us. It's one of the greatest gifts he gave us in this journey outside the love of the Father. It's a gift. It's a gift. It sits there every day and it does the same thing all the time, and it's just more glorious. It's a gift. If you want to get intertwined and live a burden-free life, become skilled at that. You'll get so good that whatever burden comes on you, you can take it off. Just that alone is worth doing it. Amen. But what it sets you up for is to move on up into the Father. And then when you move on to the Father, then God, the Father, is going to take the orphan out and put the Son in and get you ready for joint heirship. which he's getting us ready for now. And then he'll start giving you kingdom mandates that are way above your head, but have no fear, you're not doing it from here. Amen? You're going to do it with him. You're going to do it in that realm. He's going to make you a true intercessor. I had some intercessors. They're with us. I was trying to teach them this realm, and sometimes when you get intercessors, they're a breed all themselves. I'm telling you. Give the Lord a hand for intercessors. Praise God. But you get an intercessor that's trained in a warfare mentality. They want a war and war and war, and they're constantly warring, and get them to train to stop all that. It's very hard to teach them the new trick. They don't want to leave the way they were trained, because this is the way they were trained. It's like the wrong golf swing. You have to just stop doing it altogether. I'm having to retrain a technique because I learned it all wrong in the first place. It's the same with intercessors. You can just war. And I'm thinking, why do we keep doing this? We don't get very much result from it, but man, did we put a lot into it. Well, why don't we learn another way? Why don't we learn how to go up in the mountain of God and intercede with him in a state of rest, love, peace? When he opened that fountain of joy in the day, when it came time for me to represent the promise, I was laughing in the promise because that joy just flooded that. Everything you get, I'm going to say this before I close. I hope you hear what I'm about to say. Everything you get and obtain on your way up, you get to use when you represent your promise. Whatever you obtain, love, joy, peace, rest, life, glory, grace, freedom, liberty, all of that gets released in your faith. So there's no room for doubt or unbelief. So God's going to do it. Amen. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. Come on, Carlos.
So I know Andres would give me permission because when we used to sit with him, me and Pastor Chuck would sit with him at first when he got here, and he was doing sozo. And one of the things at the beginning that as we approach God, like what he just showed us right now, before you even start experiencing God's love, all that God has for us, because he told us in this world you'll have tribulation, but he said in me you'll find peace. Like in him, when you're in him is where you're walking in that rest and that peace. But even to start experiencing all that, there's something that needs to be dealt with from the very beginning. And I'm going to use Andres as the example. When we're sitting in there with him, he would say, Father, I know when you're ready, you're going to take me in there. I know. And he had this, not only did he say when you're ready, but he also mentioned about he felt unworthy. He felt like he had to deal with some things before God would allow him in. When the door's wide open. So with that said, now, I want to read Romans chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, if you want to turn there, it says, because every single one of us are in Christ. You've believed in Jesus. You've been born again. The word of God says, if anybody's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone. The new things have come. And in your new journey with God, when you were born again, you received resurrection life. You received the life of God. You became one with him. That's why to have eternal life doesn't mean when you die, you'll go to heaven. When you're born again, you receive eternal life right there. You're a new creation. Now your journey begins with God. You're a babe in Christ. Your inner man now needs to be fed the word of God so that you grow. But in our approach to God, in the beginning, when we're just born again, it's just like when you're a baby. Just like when you're a baby born into the earth, you need to be fed, you need to be birthed, you need to be changed, all that. And God's grace just floods your life. And that season of your life, that's where you go to the store, you go, I mean, God's everywhere. As a baby in Christ, he's there. But then when it's time to start crawling and start growing, he starts letting your hands go. You got to start walking on your own, right? You got to start growing up. Well, as you continue to walk with God, now it's our approach to him, but every single time we don't approach him by works. And that's what I was going to go is in Romans chapter 5. A lot of us understand that when he died for us on the cross, he died for our sins. We received forgiveness of sins because of the blood, but it's not just the blood. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, it says, much more than being now justified by his blood, how much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life? So he died on the cross in our stead, but then now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and then he lives to make intercession for us. And because we have newness of life, because we've been born again, how can we now think that he died for our sins? He's the one. If you even have salvation right now, it's because he chased you down. The Word of God says there's no one that seeks God. So it was his love that was drawing you, and he uses people. That's why you got to hear the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. You got to hear the gospel. But then when you're born again, now think about it. You're born again. His blood paid for your forgiveness. And then now if you do something wrong, you think God's not going to receive you? You know, Pastor just said right now, his love is just full. Like, we think that he's mad at us. And that's one of the things I always teach at the prison, or, you know, I can teach anyone. It's not just people at prison, but it's very important, because that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned is it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. When things are good, I run to God. And when things are bad, I run to God. If I mess up, I run to God. That's the biggest key that I've learned is it doesn't matter what I've done. Yes, let's praise God. Amen. But it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. Run to God. Run to God. Because he said, if by his blood we've been redeemed, we've been reconciled back by the death of his son, it says, how much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life? It's his life. He's now living to make intercession for us, and he presents us faultless. It says in Jude, it says he presents us faultless without stumbling before the majesty in heaven. That's the way God sees us. That's one of the first day I came, Pastor LaRue was talking about how he presses in. He says, it doesn't matter how I feel, I'm accepted in the beloved. And I mean, those keys, once you learn those techniques, you'll always approach God in that manner. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't have to be sin. It doesn't have to be it. If you have any kind of cloud and you feel like there's a barrier between you and God, it's a lie. It's either yourself that you're holding condemnation on yourself or the enemy. But God, if he died for you and he's already redeemed you back unto himself, the veil's been broken. The pathway is clear and open. It's just a matter of applying faith. And I'll close with this. One of the keys, as a matter of fact, when we went bowling this Saturday, as us as leaders, especially what we're holding for God, like we're believing God for big things, like he's given us that assignment. And the warfare that we have is in the intimacy with God. Like he already knows there's many areas in our lives that he has no grip, but if he can put all his warfare machine around our intimacy with God, our time in the Word, our time spending. The Lord told me one time, because he's an invisible God. And in my beginning stages with God, I was like, Lord, like I wanted to hear his voice. I was so hungry for God that I was, you know, I was going into the middle of the literal closet in my house, and I wanted to hear his voice. And it wasn't until 2 weeks later that he told me, son, if you want to hear my voice, I'll speak to you through my Word. And it was so clear, because I mean, I almost jumped out of the chair at work. And then he told me to spend time in my Word is to spend time with me. So, but the warfare now is in that area. So this Saturday when we went bowling, when you enter in that place, like your spirit man comes to the forefront, because your body, soul, and spirit. When you start being alive, when you start getting full with God, your spirit man comes to the forefront. Things look clear, peace, quiet, like everything's just at rest. And you can get so much more done out of that place than you could ever get done when the voices are trying to distract and, like Pastor said, the atmospheric thieves. And once you're there, like just from stepping out of that place, I mean, I think within 5-10 minutes that I stepped into the car, like, I think I straightened out the kitchen. I did some things. I mean, I did probably like half a day's things in like 15 minutes. And I got in the car, went and had breakfast with Andres, and then we went to the men's outing. But when I got in the car, I've shared before the bell from the car, you know, when you put the key in, ding, ding. It's just so clear. And I mean, it's an awesome place. And when we went to the bowling alley, we were first practicing before everybody got there. We had two lanes. And I wasn't even, I don't know if Pastor noticed, but I was just sitting down and you could hear all the noise. You could hear people talking. You're just at rest. And that place, you don't even have to do it just in your closet. It's learning, just like Pastor said, learning how to remain in that place and being able to walk in that. And okay, I'll close with this. You can apply faith. That's the key is now I don't have to wait till I get to my prayer closet. I don't have to wait. I can apply faith anywhere you are. Once you understand God didn't go anywhere, everything that you experience in the morning is still there in the afternoon. So the only thing that shifted you out is distraction or, you know, especially. So that's why that one thing that needs to be settled, and that's why I walked up to here, is when you approach God, always through the finished work, not of something you've done. If you do feel like there's a burden or you've messed up, then just confess it. It says in 1 John, confess. If you've sinned, just confess and ask the Lord to forgive you. And it says that he's faithful and just to forgive you. And then you have to receive that forgiveness. You can't doubt it. You got to know that he forgave you. And if you hear it, after you release that out of your mouth, let it come out of your mouth. Confess with your mouth. Then you have to believe. And if you hear the voice that's contradicting, then you know that it's the enemy. God's not going to continue to pick on you or so. And then you have to forgive yourself. If you feel that, the point is you got to apply your faith and know that he forgave you. And when your faith applies, you'll feel the burden come off because there's no barrier between you and God. The only thing that separates you is a lie. It's a lie or anything that you allow to come in between you and God. So that's what and I'll just pray and end with that. So Father, we thank you for your abundant grace, Lord, your abundant grace to approach you, to draw near to you, Father, to remain in your rest, to remain in your word, Father. And Lord, we, you know, even right now, Father, we receive, Father, from your throne, Lord, we receive, Father, as we're sitting together with you, Lord, in heavenly places, Father, we receive everything that you purchased for us, Father. We thank you, Father, for that communion, that sweet communion that we have with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.